J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
I play golf. I'm not good at golf. I never got a hole in one. But I did hit a guy. And that's way more satisfying. It's not like seeing a guy you don't know drop 100 yards away. That's right, I hit a guy in one. What's par for hitting a guy? It's one. If you hit a guy in two, you're a f***ing hole. You're supposed to yell four, but I was too busy mumbling. There ain't no way that's gonna hit him. I mumble. People say what to me, but I'm not sure if they want me to repeat myself. Like, I was with this girl, she said, she had a box of crackers. She said, "Are these crackers good or what?" I don't know what she means. Either the crackers are really good, or she didn't hear what I just said. I guess I should have a cracker, and if it tastes like shit, I'll repeat myself. I think animal crackers make people think that all animals taste the same. What does a giraffe taste like? A hippopotamus. I had him back to back. I think Pringle's initial intention was to make tennis balls. But on the day that the rubber was supposed to show up, a big truckload of potatoes arrived. And Pringle's is a laid-back company. They said, "F*** it, cut them up." I like potato chips too. We'll play tennis later. I got to act in a movie. I had a small scene in a movie, but I got to act with Peter Frampton. He was in the movie. And we had to smoke pot for the scene, but it was fake pot. Do not buy pot on a movie set. But I got to smoke fake pot with Peter Frampton. That's a cool story. It's as cool as smoking real pot with a guy who looks like Peter Frampton. I've done that way more.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, "I've heard it all before"? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, November 11th, 2022. 95 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jconline.com. That was Mitch Hedberg, by the way. Very, very funny guy, as you heard. And there's something about that delivery that was just amazing. I say was because it is in the past tense. Mitch left us, it had to be maybe 12, maybe even 15 years ago. He was only in his 40s, but he was a smack freak. He was riding the heroin, I'm trying to sound street now, and I can't do that. I was going to say something about riding the something pony or something, but I don't know anything about drugs, so I'm trying to sound street here is a wasted effort. By the way, I'm still dizzy as fuck. I don't know what to do about this. I called the doctor again yesterday. As a matter of fact, I should take some more of these pills here. They say they're supposed to help, but they're not helping. And I still got this vertigo here. And if you've never had it, I wouldn't recommend getting it because I can't drive, especially can't drive at night. But I wouldn't even try it during the day right now. So I'm sort of stuck in the house and you're just trying not to fall down. I almost walked through a plate glass window 2 days ago because I thought it was open. And actually, I got to go back out there today and clean off this giant greasy smudge from when my head hit the glass. I was probably this close to having the glass just completely shatter. I was just going to walk outside through the place where the sliding glass door was closed. Incidentally, I don't know if you saw this on the news, but Pappy's got broken into overnight. They're bragos. These smash and grabs are really, really out of control in downtown St. Louis. But somebody broke into Pappy's last night. And for those of you who are still spreading this nonsense about Nancy Pelosi's husband. You know, when you see the glass outside the house instead of inside, there were people, including Donald Trump, by the way, who said, well, the glass is outside the house. So whoever hit the glass with a hammer was on the inside hitting it out because the glass is all outside. Go ahead and look at the Pappy's story today. When you see the video on the news, all the glass is outside. What was there, was somebody with a hammer inside Pappy's trying to get out in the middle of the night? That's what happens. It's physics. You break a window, the glass comes out at you. It doesn't go inside. I almost proved that myself by walking through a plate glass window 2 days ago. So I'm just sitting here, dizzy, trying to do the show. Time to take another pill. Hold on. Say take one every 8 hours. It should take one every 8 minutes. What's this stuff called? Meclizine. All right, we got a big movie opening today. It is a big, big day for the black community, by the way, because this Wakanda thing, which is now a franchise, I guess, because this is the sequel to the one with Chadwick Boseman, and then he passed away. But this thing hits theaters today, and they have sold a million gazillion trillion tickets already for people who are like, we're going to this movie the minute it opens. I was supposed to see the screening the other night, but as I pointed out, I'm dizzy as fuck, so I can't drive and I can't see movies and I can't do anything right now. But I did talk to somebody who saw it, and he said that the opening was great, the ending was great, middle of the movie not so great, and a little bit convoluted. So you can take that or leave it. Speaking of movies, Thanksgiving approaching, and the whole holiday thing is floating around. You say this new Lindsay Lohan movie? I can tell you it's not the Hallmark Channel, because people who saw it say that they're clearly trying to make a Hallmark Channel type movie. So it must be streaming. It might be on Amazon. But they say that it's actually not bad, not bad in context, meaning for a silly, stupid, sappy holiday movie, it's actually not bad. The amnesia thing is used in this movie. You know, when you get movies with amnesia or evil twins, that's when I check out. The writers don't have any good ideas, and so let's go right to the amnesia, right to the evil twin. And apparently that's where it is. Lindsay Lohan bumps her head somewhere, which is easy to understand because she had lots of car crashes. She's not wearing a seatbelt, or her head goes bouncing off the interior of the car, and she comes out and she doesn't realize that her fiance is who it is or something. I don't know. That's all I know. Now, you got a lot of good holiday movies, Thanksgiving style. You got a lot more bad ones than you got good ones. Of course, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and don't watch it like on TBS or something like that, or one of those cable channels that sanitizes everything and takes out the profanity. Because the profanity in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is so well used. It is so well used that if you take that out, you're taking out the best parts of the movie, for God's sakes. Although, I don't know, the best parts of the movie. I think I have to contradict myself already, because for whatever reason, that scene when they're driving up I-55 and John Candy turns into the devil, and both sides of the car are sheared off because they're driving on the wrong side of the street. And that's really funny and everything, but it's the part right after that. When they've stopped, they've pulled over, they're still in shock, and then both of them pull their fingernails out of the dashboard, and it sounds like Velcro. That makes me piss my pants every single time. I don't know why I think that's that funny, but it is. And I've told the story a million times. The people who were making that movie back in 1986 in St. Louis were looking for me to be in the movie, but I was suspended at the time for like 3 months when I was on KSHE, and they just pulled me off the air because they didn't know what to do, and I had a contract, so they had to keep paying me. So nobody knew what to do, and neither side was budging. And while all that was going on, they were looking for me to be in the movie, and when they couldn't find me, they went with Al Hofer, and Al got to be the voice of the DJ coming out of the car radio in that scene. And Al, by the way, did a hell of a lot better job than I would have done. So I don't feel bad about that at all. It would have been nice to be in the movie, but Al really hit it out of the park. He did a great job. Also, You've Got Mail, Home for the Holidays, Miracle on 34th Street. That's a Christmas movie. It opens with the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, so I guess it counts. The Ice Storm. This is one of Ang Lee's first movies, the guy who did the Incredible Hulk movies. But Kevin Kline, Sigourney Weaver, very, very good movie. Very intense psychological type thing set in what I think was the 1970s. It's been a while since I've seen it. The movie was made and released in 1997. This is not an upbeat holiday movie. This is a very, very dark movie with a unfortunate ending. Let's put it at that. They keep making it harder and harder for us to see a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. CBS had the rights for like 50 years. And you just was like, you knew where it was. You knew when it was on. And you'd sit down with the family and watch a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Now, I don't know where the hell it is. I think it's on one of the streaming services now. Spider-Man, they say. They're counting Spider-Man because it has a Thanksgiving dinner scene. And we talked about You've Got Mail. Somebody should make a movie, a new movie, about the night before Thanksgiving. Some of the wildest parties I've ever been to in my life were the night before Thanksgiving. I don't know what it was. The Kincaid brothers. I've talked about this before. The Kincaid brothers back in the 80s were the guys, the brothers, out in West County who made the puppets for DB's Delight. And well, so they did some Six Flags characters and stuff like that. They would make these giant heads, you know, like Fred Bird's head and stuff. Like, they may have even made Fred Bird, for all I know. I don't know that they did, but that's the kind of stuff that they did. And then they moved to Florida and everything blew up. But back then, they used to have a party the night before Thanksgiving, and I went to one. And the first thing you notice is when you walk in, the party's downstairs. You go downstairs, and they have a hot tub in the house, which I don't think you're supposed to do. Now, if it's a bathroom type thing with tile and ventilation and everything like that, but clearly what they did is they just said, could we move the hot tub in the house? Yeah, I guess. We want to do that for the party? Yeah. So come walk in, everybody sitting in the hot tub. It's just like in a room. You're just laughing because it's like, this can't be. You're not going to get your deposit back when you move out of this place. But I still remember that night because I was with a girl I was dating at the time. And I don't remember the details as to why we thought to do this or exactly how it happened. But all I knew is we ended up backing ourselves into a closet. And we were making out in this closet, but we could see everybody through the little grates in the door, but they couldn't see in at us. And there was something really, really erotic about that. And then in college, you know, you'd come home for Thanksgiving break, and in a lot of cases, you know, you would see people that you went to high school to with, and all your local neighborhood buddies and stuff like that, who you had moved away from because you were going away to college. Now you'd come home a day or two before Thanksgiving, and that night before Thanksgiving, you'd go out, and you'd be out almost all night. And it presented an interesting situation, too, because let's say you go away to school in late August, right? August, September, October, November, and there it is. So 3 months, you've been living on your own for the very first time. You're a college freshman. And now you're home for the holiday for the first time. You come sauntering in at like 3:30 in the morning, and your mother is sitting at the kitchen table with a grimace on her face looking, and you're like, Ma, what are you doing up? We waited for you all night. Why were you up so you didn't do it? This was before cell phones, obviously. So it wasn't like you could think to call or send a text. You didn't have any of that stuff. And you're trying to explain to your mother and father that, Mom, Dad, I live on my own now. I'm in control of my own life and my own destiny. And at college, I stay out until 3:30 in the morning all the time. And now I'm home and it's 3:30 and I'm just getting home. And your parents aren't buying it. As long as you're living in this house. You know, that's one of those, as long as you're living in this house speeches. Larry Miller, the comedian, used to do a really, really funny bit about that very thing, about trying to tiptoe into the house in the middle of the night and not be caught coming in at 3:30 in the morning. If I can find it, I'll play it for you sometime. Oh, I guess technically Scent of a Woman. You've got a pretty interesting Thanksgiving scene in that, too. Again, not, you know, not anything that's like, aw, Thanksgiving. No, it's not that kind of movie, as you know. So, you know, when it comes down to it, watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and then watch football. Oh, and by the way, They do count Miracle on 34th Street, although that's obviously a Christmas movie, but it starts, as I said, with the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Don't get rooked into watching the remake of Miracle on 34th Street. As much as I liked John Hughes, the guy who made everything from Ferris Bueller to, well, he was the executive producer of Home Alone, but, you know, he made all these great teenage comedy and romance movies, sort of rom-coms. The one I liked most of them, but the one that he really swung and missed was on Miracle on 34th Street. What's the most famous scene in Miracle on 34th Street, the original from 1947? It's when all the bags and bags and bags of mail are stacked on the judge's desk in the courtroom. That's the most famous scene in the movie. And John Hughes makes the movie again. He does a remake. I think it was in the late 80s, maybe early 90s. And that scene's not in it. What are you thinking? And let me just say it again. Do not watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles on one of the cable channels where it's all sanitized and all the good stuff is taken up. Top shows in the history of HBO, according to Rotten Tomatoes, include my all-time favorite show, The Larry Sanders Show, a 100% rating. Speaking of cable and streaming and all that sort of stuff, Chris Rock is going to be the first ever artist to perform live on Netflix. It's a comedy special. In the beginning of next year, it's going to stream globally. Bruce Springsteen has a new album today, Only the Strong Survive. It's his 21st album. Sam Moore is a guest on two songs. It's an album of soul music covers. Denise Richards, I would say go ahead and look at her OnlyFans stuff, but you won't recognize her. I don't understand this. We've been watching Denise Richards in movies and on TV shows for years and years and years through the Charlie Sheen years and everything like that. And I don't know, she doesn't even look like herself anymore. He's like, who's that? It's Denise Richards. No, it's not. Maybe it's all those filters that they use. Madonna's latest photo shoot is set to I Want to Be Your Dog by the Stooges. That also includes her licking water out of a bowl, if that's your thing. The Problem with Jon Stewart, Apple TV starting today, an election wrap-up. Saturday Night Live, Dave Chappelle hosting. Sunday Night Football, 49ers and the Chargers. Jimmy Fallon tonight, Sylvester Stallone, everybody else is off. According to Jay Farrow, who did great imitations for a couple of years on Saturday Night Live, said Pete Davidson is packing 9 inches down there. We've heard rumors now for a while, and there are people starting to confirm them. Alex Jones, who's also a big dick, has been ordered to pay another $473 million to the families of the Sandy Hook victims. Merry Christmas. A Mariah Carey Christmas special is going to air on CBS on December 20th. AMC developing a series based on the George Clooney movie, Good Night, Good Luck, about Edward R. Murrow. I think I'd be interested in that. Because Odell Beckham Jr. took his 2021 salary from the Rams in Bitcoin. He played the entire season and ended up losing $200,000. And I don't know what's going on between Tom Brady and Giselle Bundchen, but she just bought an $11.5 million mansion in Miami Beach that's right across the street from the house that Tom Brady owns. What are these two into? All right, birthdays today. Leonardo DiCaprio is 48. Calista Flockhart, who's been living with Harrison Ford for, God, it's got to be 20 years now. She's 58. Demi Moore is 60. Stanley Tucci, 62. Birthdays on Saturday. Anne Hathaway, 40. I wonder what she would look like with softer makeup. I used to date a girl like that, too, and it was like when she would put like an intense color lipstick on and full makeup and everything, she didn't look as good as she did natural. And I was like, maybe you should be softening your makeup, because there's something about Anne Hathaway that when she's in full makeup, it almost looks like she's wearing clown makeup. And it just she needs to soften her look. It would be so much better. Anyhow, she's 40 today. Ryan Gosling, 42. Tanya Harding, still considered a celebrity at 52. Sammy Sosa at 52. Nadia Comaneci, 61. Megan Mullally from Will and Grace, 64. Neil Young, who I believe now is either living with or married to Daryl Hannah, 77. Al Michaels, 78. Sunday birthdays, Gerard Butler, 53. Jimmy Kimmel, 55. Whoopi Goldberg, 67. Chris Noth from Sex and the City, 68. And Joe Mantegna, one of the super fans on Saturday Night Live and also The Simpsons and The Godfather and Criminal Minds. Chicago actor Joe Mantegna is 75. All right, now those of you who have gone to the Field of Dreams in Dyersville, Iowa, will recall seeing a sign. Maybe you even stopped in at the place. I don't know. The National Toy Museum. There's also a National Toy Hall of Fame. And every year about this time, they announce toys that have been inducted into the Hall of Fame. For example, let's see, last year, American Girl Dolls, the board game Risk, and Sand, like from a beach or a sandbox. Another winner. Third place, Sand. All right, whatever. So this year, it's Light Bright, Masters of the Universe, and the Top, as in the kind you spin, not like a bikini top. There are 9 other finalists that didn't get enough votes from the industry experts, historians, and the general public to make it into the Hall of Fame this year. Bingo, Briar Horses, Nerf Toys, the Pinata, the Card Game Phase 10, Pound Puppies, Racco, and the Spirograph. But they put Sand in last year. Whatever. For about a month earlier this year, new mothers were running around all over the place going, there's no baby formula, there's no baby formula. You know why? Because there was no baby formula. And it had something to do with the supply chain. And people were starting to hoard it. Well, we now learn that three Romanian women recently arrested in northern Utah in connection with the National Baby Formula Theft Ring. They were caught stealing thousands worth of formula and have been charged with retail theft. Like I said, they've been stealing this stuff, and there is a black market for baby formula. I'm having a hard time figuring out what northern Utah's got to do with it. Shake and Bake has succumbed to pressure. What would Shake and Bake be doing that would raise the ire of environmentalists? Well, when you buy Shake and Bake, they give you a plastic bag. You know why? Because the stuff is called Shake and Bake. So you have to shake it first. You put all the breadcrumbs and the stuff that's the formula in the Shake and Bake in a big bag. I think everybody has done this as a kid. And then you throw in your chicken breast and then you shake it in the bag. The chicken is coated with this stuff and then you bake it. And it's like, it tastes like shit, but you made it with your kid and your kid feels a sense of accomplishment because they made the Shake and Bake chicken. Well, the environmentalists are like, that's a bag. That's a plastic bag. And, you know, plastic bags aren't cool anymore. So now when you buy Shake and Bake, there's no fucking bag. It's just the crumbs and you got to come up with your own bag. I mean, it's not like you can't do it. It's sort of arrogant for them to say, well, you know, you got to come up with your own bag. Pretty soon you'll be going to the grocery store or to Costco or something to buy trash bags. And the box will be empty. I'm sorry, we can't have bags. Yeah, but you make trash bags. I'm sorry, there's no bags. We can't put bags in the box of bags anymore. Well, we'll sell this empty box for $12. And a video has gone viral of a guy telling his girlfriend he's willing to skip out Tuesday night football to take her on a date. And she gets very excited about it, clearly unaware that there is no such thing as Tuesday night football. All right, NPR does Science Friday. Do they still do Science Friday? Senator, they used to. I used to enjoy that. On our show here on the podcast, we occasionally will deal with science on Friday. The oldest known sentence written in the first alphabet was discovered in Israel on a comb used for removing lice from people's hair. It's made of ivory, and it's about 3,700 years old. The sentence reads, may this tusk root out the lice of the hair and the beard. That's the first sentence anybody ever wrote. I would have assumed that the first sentence ever written was something like, where are the broads? Archaeologists found a huge tunnel under a temple in Egypt, and they think it might lead to Cleopatra's tomb. Swiss scientists found the exact nerve groups that need to be stimulated to help people with spinal cord injuries walk again. They already knew delivering shocks to the spine can help people regain some function. Now they know more about how it works, which could lead to further breakthroughs. Two patients in the UK became the first to receive transfusions of artificial blood made in a lab. Each only got a few teaspoons worth. It's safe and it could be used for people with rare blood types and to help treat blood disorders. Now that the election is over, even though we're still waiting for results in a lot of cases, pending two outcomes, this could be the first time in history that every incumbent senator is reelected. Every single one. And people want change, but they don't do it. They go to the, you know, because what it is, they say, oh, these congressmen, senators, they all suck. Now, my guy is okay, but all the rest of them are no good. And that's how that shit happens. Honoring veterans again today. It was on this date back in 1982 that the Vietnam Wall in Washington, D.C., there on the wall, was dedicated. On this date, 1998, I got official word from Cooperstown that our version of the opening day baseball show that we do every spring on the radio and on the podcast was put into the archives at the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. That was pretty cool. I got that letter hanging on my wall here. 1985, my first trip to see David Letterman in New York City. It was part of a contest that we did on the air where we took two listeners, and I took my date, and we went and spent a couple of days in Nueva York and got to see the show. Martin Short, one of the guests on the show, got our pictures taken with Dave and Martin Short and Paul Schaefer backstage. I would put that on Facebook today, but as you know, I've still got another week of jail, so I can't do anything. It was on this date in 2011 that I was pulled off the radio at KTRS. I don't even remember what the circumstances were. And the Silver Linings Playbook was screened at the Tivoli for the first time in this date back in 2012. Got to see it then and spent the rest of the week telling everybody, you got to see this movie. And I got to be sort of delicate about the way I do this final story today, because I think everybody, how could you live in St. Louis and not know who Jay Randolph was? Jay Randolph was the primary sportscaster on Channel 5 when I got here in 1984, and then he had kids, and one of his kids was Jay Jr., who's been on talk radio and on satellite radio and big golf expert and everything like that. It's my understanding that about 20 years ago, and I didn't know this until a couple of days ago, but apparently Jay Jr. was in a near-fatal car crash about 20 years ago, and it sort of shook him up to the point where I guess he thought to himself, you know what, it could end at any day, so go out there and just live, live, live. Don't sit around. Go out there and live your life, because you never know when it's going to end, which is a little on the eerie side because he has now gone public. And this is how fast it can happen, by the way. He's gone public with the fact that he has inoperable liver cancer. I think he's only about 52. So in the course of just a couple of days, he went from, I'm doing fine like everybody else, to being told you've got 3 to 4 months to live. Now, we have seen things like this on the internet before, where people sit there and just don't have anything to do on a Thursday afternoon. And so they say, hey, would you prefer to know when you were going to die, or, you know, like if you could take some sort of blood test or something, and they invented a machine that would say, okay, you will pass away at the age of 81, or you're going to pass away at this, whatever the case may be. Would you want to know that? It seemed to be, from my recollection, sort of split down the middle, where about half the people said, no, oh yeah, it'd be great, I would like to know. And the other half were like, no. Because what if the news wasn't good? As in the case of Jay Randolph Jr., where the news isn't good. The whole Randolph family, including Jay Jr., has made a lot of friends across the St. Louis area, across the country, and across the world, for that matter, over the years. And so they are hearing from everybody. And I wasn't close with Jay, haven't been close with him, but you know, when I'd see him, we'd have a nice chat. So I sent him a note the other day. What do you say? I mean, really, what do you say? And so that's basically what I said. Especially being an agnostic, I'm thinking to myself, what inspirational message can I deliver to him, which will be dwarfed by the thousands of messages I'm sure he will get? And keeping in mind that this probably, I mean, for all practical reasons, will probably be the last communication you will ever have with the guy, because in 3 or 4 months, he won't be around anymore. What do you say? So that's pretty much exactly what I did. You know, what do you say? But those of you who bought my second book will recall that this was in the final chapter where I was talking about the meaning of life. I was feeling a little reflective back in those days. And what is the meaning of life? And I've concluded that the actual meaning of life is to leave memories for the people who will still be here after you're gone. And if you look at his Facebook page or some of the other things that have popped up on the internet with regard to this, I guess you would call it breaking news, because it really did come on really quickly. I mean, on Friday, you're fine. On Friday night, you're told you've got 3 to 4 months to live. What do you do next? What on earth do you do next? And what do you do with those final 3 or 4 months? I mean, you hear stuff all the time about somebody who's just been told that they don't have long to live. We have another friend. I say we because a lot of members of the broadcast community, there's a gal who has been in the public relations area, I guess you would say, and she was just given a very, very unpleasant prognostication of her chances of survival as well. So there's a lot of this stuff popping up. We are just approaching that age, unfortunately, where, as I've been saying for the last couple of years, we're about to lose everybody. Sometime in the next few years, Keith Richards will finally die, and then all the jokes will be over. And then Mick Jagger will die, and then Paul McCartney will die, and then Ringo, and then on and on and on. And then it'll be our turn. I hate to put it in terms like that, but it does. And when, like I said, you hear about this stuff all the time, but when it's somebody you know, I think you have a completely different reaction. And if you don't end up with some level of introspection going on when something like this happens, I'd be very, very surprised. Pursue your happiness. You owe it to yourself. All right, the J.C. Corcoran podcast is done for Friday, November 11th, 2022. 95 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. Watch out for this weather dive. Wow, 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 what happened? And will we see on Monday night into Tuesday our first snowflakes of the season? Snooks Panic Isle is standing by. It's got to be more than flakes. But we are ready when it happens. Please spread the word that we are here every weekday morning right about this time, absolutely free. You can email me, jc@jconline.com, Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.